Very thankful this morning for each one that is here today. I'd like to speak to you this morning by the help of the Lord about intentional Christian living. Intentional Christian living. And ask an interest in your prayers. Have you all ever heard the term flying by the seat of your pants? You know what that term means? Let me give you the history of the term at least, and it's evolved a little bit through the years. But to fly by the seat of your pants originated somewhere around, at least it became a popular term, in the 1930s, obviously in aviation. And it had to do with when a course was set of action using intuition, perceptions, more than a predetermined plan. So a plane that was flying that did not have a lot of navigational tools, the pilot would kind of take it by instinct. And they didn't have a plan, they didn't have the navigation tools that we have access to today. Many times they didn't have many instruments. So that was termed flying by the seat of their pants. So if you're going to fly without a lot of instruments, I'd like someone that has had some good experience flying by the seat of their pants. But it's kind of going along with decisions as you go. Not a lot of planning. Today, when you fly, especially with commercial, you have a flight plan. And you have instruments that you use, and all the decisions have been made a lot of times about how high you fly, about what direction you fly, about the course that you set. So it's kind of evolved through time to where today, flying by the seat of your pants, a lot of times indicates just living on a whim. Whatever strikes you for the moment. Whatever you feel like doing. It's like, well, I'm just kind of going by the seat of my pants. In other words, I don't have a lot of training. Maybe don't have a lot of expertise, but I'll just kind of go along with the flow and do things however I feel like it at the moment. Used to the term flying blind would have kind of gone in conjunction with flying by the seat of your pants. But you realize that while there have been times that people have flown blind, so to speak, have made it to their destination, it is much safer when you've got navigational instruments and you've got a plan and you know exactly this is the course that I'm to fly, rather than just hoping that there's not a cloud cover and that you can see where you need to go. But when you've got instruments, whether there's clouds or not, you've got something fixed. It's predetermined what you're going to do. So I'd like to ask you a question this morning. How successful are people in business that fly by the seat of their pants? How successful are people with their health issues that deal with their health issues by the seat of their pants? How successful are people that are really trying to train and going to exercise and they do it by the seat of their pants? We could talk about dieting on that one too, couldn't we? What about relationships? You know, sometimes people deal with relationships kind of by the seat of their pants. And they just kind of, whatever feels good at the moment. Whatever hits me today, tomorrow might be different depending on my mood and circumstances. But today, I'm just going to kind of fly by the seat of my pants. And if I want a good relationship with someone, I'll be thoughtful and kind. But don't cross me tomorrow because things might be different. For people that are dieting, and we'll get in a little bit of that. You know, just kind of what hits me for the day, kind of what where I am, where I'm driving, what I see. How successful are people that do that? What do you think? How successful are people? Now, I've written up here intentional Christian living. I could have put a title of flying by the seat of your pants Christians, but I put intentional Christian living because that is the opposite. If you are intentional about something, you have a plan. You have values, you've got a plan, you've got a method, you've got determination, you've got purpose, and you know where you're headed. And you know your approach to it. The Lord wants us to have intentional Christian living this morning. Because if we are not intentional about our service to God, it's going to be haphazard living. We're going to be living one day, I might look, appear to be the holiest man around, but tomorrow, I don't really have a lot of intent. And I'm flying by the seat of my pants. Whatever hits me today. One day you may find in me holding up a standard in my life, and next week you may find there's no standards. It's just whatever you feel like. We're all headed to heaven anyway. Have you heard people have that mentality? We're all just headed there, and it really doesn't matter. I had the neighbor man, I was hoping he'd be here this morning. He told me yesterday or Friday, he said he had some relatives. I better be careful because I don't know who they are. Maybe you know them, so I better be careful. But he said they are Christian when they want to be. In other words, they're Christian when they want to be. They're religious when they want to be, but when it doesn't suit their purposes, they're not. I told him, I said, that's not what real Christianity is about. Living for the Lord is not about flying by the seat of our pants, folks. I hope we can get hold of that. If we're going to serve the Lord, it's going to take some purpose. It's going to take some intention. It's going to take some goal setting. So when someone is not have intent, they're not being motivated by the same thing day by day. They're living off of emotions and feelings and a whim. And it changes with the tide of the day. Making decisions. What about healthful eating? How many of you have wanted to eat healthfully? Okay, everybody's ashamed. Why would you even be ashamed to say me? Why? I mean, is that a fair question? Why would you not want to acknowledge, yes, I do want to eat healthfully? Because the next question is going to be, are you? And if not, why not? I will tell you one of the problems is because a lot of times people want to eat healthy and they're flying by the seat of their pants. Today I get up and it's a new day. I don't want to eat good today. And you know, after you eat a big meal and eat something that's probably not real helpful, that's normally when you think, I'm going to start eating good. And then the next meal comes around and all of a sudden, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to. That's how some people serve the Lord. It depends. But if we're going to have healthful eating, we're going to have to be intentional about it. And you know, when you are intentional about healthful eating, it works. It works when you're intentional about it. When you set a purpose, because it doesn't happen by itself. That's the thing. It doesn't happen by itself. There's always a donut shop. There's always fried food. There's always something that doesn't quite fit the plan for healthful eating. But when you have when you are doing it intentionally, I'll tell you, you can look at it and say, no, I am not eating that. I don't even have to think about it. No, I'm not eating that. Why not? Because I'm doing this intentionally. I made a purpose. I'm going to eat healthfully. I've got to make some changes in my life, so I'm going to eat healthfully. And you set a purpose. You change your time. You may have certain times to eat. I hope I don't embarrass my wife, but there have been times she almost ate by the clock. Oh, it's time for a snack. Well, thank the Lord, it's time for a snack. But it was intentional, see? She was doing it so it was intentional rather than I feel hungry or I want something. Because when you start feeling hungry, it's easy to start eating things that aren't very helpful. So when you have a plan and you're intentional about it, it changes your time management with what you're doing. It's much easier to say no because it's not based on what looks good at the moment because it's intentional. We could go through so many different things. It's intentional as it relates to health. Exercise is the same way. How many of us here, and you don't have to raise your hand, feel like you need to exercise more? Do you know that if you say, that's me, do you know most likely you will be saying the same thing next year? And the year after that, most likely, unless we get intentional about it. And you know what that means? I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to walk 2 miles. I'm going to walk a mile in the morning and a mile at night, or you adjust that schedule. But I'm going to do this every day or 4 days a week, and I'm going to do it whether I feel like it or not. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to do it. And you set a plan. And when you are intentional about it, it starts happening. And the longer you are intentional about something, the easier it becomes to do it. But it takes being intentional, not flying, not exercising by the seat of your pants. Do you understand this morning? What about relationships? Do you know strong relationships come about by intentional living? Talking about relationships now. Marriages. What's your intent for marriage? Is it short-term or is it long-term? If it's short-term, you're always looking about, okay, I'll use my wife as an example. Is she making me happy today? She burned the toast this morning, and I'm not happy, so I'm not sure what the future holds. See, that's living on a whim. That's living on a whim. It's based on my emotions for, well, I just was a little annoyed at my wife, you know, getting around this morning. I wasn't, by the way. But I'm not saying I never have been. But I want to tell you something. When you are intentional about it, it really doesn't matter because you've got a long-term plan. It's not a short-term plan. It's not based on feelings at that point. It's not based on just my changing emotions. Long-term marriages that are healthy and good marriages come about through intention. When I said I do and she said I do, she said in richer or poor, in sickness and in health, and she got the poor end of it, I'll just tell you. There's been a lot of sickness and she's not wealthy. But I'll tell you what, there's something that was worth more than that. But it took intention, it took purpose, and it changes then the time that you spend with one another too, isn't it? Because if your marriage, and this applies to many relationships, but if your relationship is important, you will set time. You will make time to be together. And it's not just, well, if I have time or not, or it's based on a whim, based on circumstances, by the seat of my pants. But it comes with a plan. You are important to me. I value our relationship. And so I'm going to approach that relationship intentionally. I want to get closer to you. Have you ever had someone in your life you wanted to get closer to? Maybe a friend, maybe a family member, and you focus it. You have to do it intentionally. Because a lot of times people say, yeah, and you pick up the phone and it happens once, and then you don't do anything else about it. But when you are intentional about it, you follow up. You pursue it. You make time. You make contact repeatedly because of a desire for a strong relationship. What about business? Someone has a bright idea and said, oh, someone could make money on that. My question would be, do you have a business plan? Well, I don't know anything about a business plan. I think it'll work, though. That's flying by the seat of your pants. It might work for you, but it might not. But it behooves someone that wants to have a successful business, have a business plan. What's your marketing strategy? What are you going to sell something? How much are you going to sell it for? Who is your market? Who is your competition? Go research your competition. See what they're charging. Talk to people. See what the business possibilities are. Before you invest money in that, you might lose it. And there have been a lot of money lost because people are flying by the seat of their pants. But when you approach it with a business plan, with intention, you take time, you set goals. It's not just based, oh, I didn't sell anything today, I guess I'll just give up. No, you've got a long-term goal. You made plans for the slow times. Do you understand? That's in business. Well, there's some other areas of life. What about investing? You know, this is practical stuff, but we're getting to the Christian part here in just a little bit. But I'll tell you what, if you follow some of these things, it'll affect your relationship with God too. But investing, when is the best time to invest? Yes, early. I tell young people, as soon as you get a job and start making money, it's time to start socking away for the future. You say, but I don't have very much. Okay, you just went and bought I went and bought someone some drinks the other day. I was like, who would pay $6 or $7 for a drink? That'll make you poor. But there are people that do that regularly. And then they say, I don't have any extra money. I can help you out with that one. I can get you an extra. How many times do you buy one of those $7 drinks? You know how much money? Because investing, if you have a long-term goal, you're not worried about what's happening today. See, we're not flying by the seat of my pants. The best investment advice I could give you young folks is don't listen to anybody except me this morning. Don't listen to when people say now's not a good time. Just, you know what, if you're going to invest in the stock market, the economy, it's going to crash. And it might. We're probably are in for a downturn. I think we are. But don't listen to that. Don't let that stop you. And then some people say, oh, now's the time. Now put it all in. The best thing you can do is put it in regularly and consistently. Do you know what that means? It means intentionally. I'm going to do it regularly. I'm going to do it consistently, whether it's up or down or whatever anybody says. I'm not going to listen to them. And the statistics prove that's the best way to invest. It'll beat the guys and the men and the women that are supposed to be the certified smarts. And Warren Buffett made a bet with one of them, and he won. It was over a number of years. You be consistent. Do it with intention. Don't follow the hot stuff. Just be faithful, diligent, consistent. That's for another type of teaching session. Maybe we should move on. But the point is intentional. I'm not going to fly by the, oh, I think things are going down. Oh, I think things are good. I listened to the news and things are going down. Iran attacked Israel and stuff's tanking in the markets. And, oh, it might go down, but guess what? By the time it turns and starts going back up, you're still not going to be in. Okay, intentional is what I'm talking about now. So let's consider for just a little bit what that means and what that translates into our life as Christians this morning. If we are living for the Lord by the seat of our pants, it means that our standards are back and forth. It means that the time that we spend for God or with God, it just varies depending on my mood and my emotions and circumstances. That is not the key to successful Christian living. Just like it's not with our health, with investing, with business, and all these other things that we've touched on this morning. To be intentional means to make choices and plans that align with godly principles and values. Every decision I make, it's about my health, and someone put some cookies down there, they put some dessert in it, oh, it sure looks good. And I haven't been eating sweets. How long have you not been eating sweets? Well, yesterday I didn't have any. I mean, that's how some people approach this, but now there's something, I didn't have any yesterday, so it's okay to do that today. Do you realize that it's going to take a plan and a purpose serving the Lord? It's like, or else we're going to be varying from day to day in how we're living our life. But when you have a plan that, Lord, I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to let the goals and the purposes that I have for God determine my choices. So as it relates to eating, when there's something there that looks good, I'm going to say that does not align with my purpose to eat healthfully. That doesn't align with that goal. So no, I'm not going to eat that. Doesn't matter whether it looks good or not. That's not the point. The point is it does not measure to my intentional purpose and long-term goals for my health. Spiritually, it means every decision that we make, we need to measure it to the long-term goals and purposes that God has for our life. In temptation, the very nature of temptation is that I am being drawn away because of my flesh. Something looks good that is not good for me. That's what temptation is. And who of us here is not tempted? Everybody is tempted. That does not despiritualize you. There's temptations here that you wouldn't want everybody to know about, but guess what? There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. All of us are tempted, but when we are in a time of temptation and something is looking good in the flesh, we need to measure it. If we're going to have intentional Christian living, it's like, no, I love the Lord and I've got a goal to serve Him, so no, I'm not going to do that. Because I measure and make my decisions based upon my business plan. This is a spiritual business plan. I'm going to make my decisions based on that, not based on how I feel at the moment, because that's going to change. And one day, you know, you come into camp meeting or come into a service, and it seems like the presence of the Lord is so strong and real, and you're ready to go and conquer mountains. Have you been there? I mean, you feel like, I can conquer anything the devil brings by the help of God. I can do this. But guess what? Monday's coming. Monday is coming. And it's just back to normal life, normal temptations and frustrations. What are you going to do then? I'm still going to follow my plan. I've got a purpose, and I'm going to live for the Lord intentionally, not by happenstance or by circumstance. Making choices and plans that align consciously and thoughtfully, directing our words and our attitudes and priorities, as opposed to just kind of coasting through. So we're measuring our words. Now, I'd like to read a scripture to you. Psalm 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, verse 8. Verse says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I have set the Lord before me. That is talking about intent and purpose and action. This is something I consciously did. It wasn't happenstance that I'm walking with the Lord, because today I might walk with him and tomorrow I might not be. Depending on where you see me and what the situation is will depend upon how you see me living my life. That's flying by the seat of your pants. But with intentional Christian living, we have made a purpose that I have set the Lord always before me. In my work, in my home life, in my school life, in my congregational life, in my alone time, when I am alone and no one else knows what I'm doing, I have set the Lord always before me. That is what is going to enable us to be successful. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I'm going to make it, but I have to be intentional. Folks, if we are not intentional about our service to God, the forces are too great. They're too great. But if you will be intentional about your service to God, the Lord will give you the grace and the strength to fortify you, to enable us to live a victorious Christian life. I have set the Lord always before me. Consider the parable, as it were, that Jesus told about the seed. He said the sower went out and sowed seed, and some fell by the wayside, and some fell on thorny ground, some fell on stony ground, and some fell on good ground. But I'd like us to consider the seed that fell on stony ground. Do you remember what the scripture says about that? You can read it over in the book of Matthew 13. It said that some fell on in stony places where they had not much earth, and they sprung up because there was no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. So it was kind of like that seed that fell on stony ground, and it just sprung up quickly. And on the surface, it looks like, wow, this is someone that has gotten the word of God, and they're just really drawn close to God. See how they're just drawn closer to the Lord, and it seems like the Lord is blessing them. They are on fire for God. Have you ever seen this happen with someone? And you almost feel ashamed. You almost feel like, wow, I'm not quite where I ought to be, because they're on fire. Well, God wants us to be on fire too. But he said this fell on stony ground. But when the sun came out, when hard things came, when temptation came, when there was something that caught their eye, caught their affection, they quickly withered away and they lost out. I can't help but think that that had something to do with intentional Christian living. Because they were living in the moment. They sprung up quickly. I've known people, they would come in and they're on fire and they're trying to stir everybody up in the camp of the saints. And then next meeting comes, like, where are they? Where'd they go? Well, they're kind of discouraged. They're not coming around right now. But next camp meeting, they'll be up telling us how we need to be on fire for God. I'm like, well, where were you Wednesday night? Where were you last meeting? Where? Well, they were just going through a rough time. There was something. They were living on emotion. They were living on the moment and on the circumstances. Whereas if we're going to be successful and we want to make it to heaven, we're going to have to be intentional about living for the Lord. So when I'm with my family, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to set the Lord before me. I'm going to measure my words. How do my attitudes, how does my spirit align with my long-term plan to make it to heaven? Is it okay for us to measure ourselves? Not my job to measure you, but to measure myself. How do my decisions measure up to the long-term plan? Or have I been living a little bit by the seat of my pants, by my whims, by my emotions? Well, the Lord promised to be with us every place that the sole of our foot went. That was as long as we were headed forward. We need to be intentional about where we place our foot, folks. We need to be intentional. Be purposeful. When you say, well, why did you do it? Well, I don't know. We need to know why we do what we do. Even among God's people, why you do what you do? Well, everybody else is doing this, or everybody else doesn't go there, so I don't go there, and everybody else dresses that way, so I don't. What does everybody else have to do with it? We need to get in contact with God and get something for ourselves that regardless of what everybody else does, I'm going to follow the Lord because this is my plan. And if you go and come, I still want to be found faithful. When everybody else is saying, well, it's just not convenient, is that going to define our Christian experience? It's not convenient today to worship the Lord. How many of you had other things to do this morning? Anybody? Did anybody have anything else you could have been doing today? Had some work that you really needed to get done. There's always work. That's why God gave Monday. But the Lord gave us a time that He wanted us to put Him first. That's part of my plan this morning. It's part of my plan because I'm desperate to make it to heaven. But I'm not going to get there by allowing circumstances to dictate whether I'm going to worship God or not. We need one another this morning. We need to strengthen one another. We need to hear the Word of God preached. I need to hear your testimonies. I need to hear how the Lord's been working in your life because I may be needy and I may need what the Lord's been doing for you to encourage me, to give me hope for tomorrow. We need this, but we're going to have to be intentional about it, not driven by the winds and tides of the day and the time. Be intentional with it. Making deliberate choices. How long has it been since you've made a deliberate choice spiritually? You realize this ought to define who we are, that every day I've got a plan. I have set the Lord before me. And if a word comes out of my mouth, and have you ever said something and you heard yourself and was like, wait a minute, hold on a minute. Back up. I'm sorry, Renee, I should have had more patience. Am I the only husband that's ever had to do that? If I am, then you ought to be up here instead of me. But do you realize this is where we grow spiritually? Something comes out of your mouth and it's like, wait, that does not align with my goal. That doesn't align with my plan. That wasn't I'm sorry. Be intentional about that. Intentional. You know, sometimes, and this is where we'll grow in the graces of Christ. The love of God. I'll just tell you, I'd written down some notes. I had scriptures for all of this, but for the sake of time, I'll touch on a few. But loving God, do you know it needs to be intentional? Have you ever heard someone say they fell in love? I fell in love. I know it sounds really sweet, but I want to tell you something about falling in love. And if you fell in love, please don't throw stones at me. But if you fall in, that almost sounds accidental. You can fall out of love too. You may start with falling in love. I don't take away from those instant moments. That's another discussion too. But love is more than emotion. Love is more than emotion. I did not wake up this morning and just the first thing that was on my mind was my wife. It was like, oh, I'm so glad. Oh, it's so precious. I mean, those times are all right. They're good. We need those times. She likes those times too. But do you know what? That's not going to get you through the battles of life. Because emotions, what about when I don't have those? Does that mean, well, I don't love you anymore because I didn't wake up with the ushy-gushy emotions that you all don't want to hear about anyway? Do you realize, though, that those things right there, though, when you are intentional, love is a decision. I made a vow to my wife. I made a vow to her. And do you know that that has shaped decisions I have made in life because I made a vow to her. With intent, I made a vow. So when there comes up something that is in conflict with that vow, it's like, no, intentional living. It's the same thing with God. Some people say, well, I don't have the joy today that I used to. And so then we're much more susceptible to give into temptation. That's living on emotion and feeling. We need to set our course. I love you, God. It's a decision. There's emotion that comes with it, but my decision, my heart set is, Lord, I love you. Love the Lord with all of your heart. It's not just an emotion. It's a decision. It's a choice. Loving others is the same way. And second to it is love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know it takes intent to do that? Because frankly, there are some neighbors that are not easily loved. There are some brothers and sisters. There are some family members. And frankly, there are some spouses that might just be a little difficult to love sometimes. But do you realize that love is not just the emotion? It's a choice. And I'm going to be intentional about it. And when you make a choice to love, it means you're willing to go the extra mile when you don't feel like it. When you make a choice to love, it means when maybe they're not acting real lovable, you look beyond what they say and what they do, and you see someone that may be hurting inside, and you still are there to support them. That's what loving our neighbor is, isn't it? It's not about them always doing the right thing. It's intentional Christian living. This is the plan. This is the way God said it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Does that happen by itself? Seeking is not happenstance. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness means I'm going to have to be intentional about it. It's just like investing with that paycheck. You say, well, I'll kind of see if there's any left to invest. No, give off the top. Give to the Lord off the top. Don't wait and see what's left. Give the Lord the first fruits. You want to have something in your basket in the future? Give their second fruits. You go ahead and put a little bit aside. It may not be a lot, but it's a consistency. Power of compound interest. The same thing in our walk with God. We may not feel like we have a lot that we can do for God, but we're going to intentionally do what we can. Seeking first the kingdom of God. It's not about convenience. And we brought out, it might have been last week, the excuses people make. I married a wife. I bought some property. There's always an excuse. But to seek first the kingdom of God is going to come from intentional Christian living. And I would challenge you this morning, as you make decisions tomorrow and this week, measure it to your plan. How is this working? Is this in line? The study of God's word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you realize it takes intention, intentional Christian living to study the word of God? Because it's not always convenient to find time to study the word. So we need to be intentional about it. I'm going to get a plan. Same thing with prayer. Pray without ceasing. Having a heart open to prayer, that is intentional living. Clear living. In the book of Acts chapter 24, verse 16, Paul said, herein do I exercise myself always. To have what? A conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. Folks, that does not happen by itself. It takes intentional Christian living. I exercise myself. When are we supposed to exercise ourselves in this? Daily. Every single day, Lord, I want to have my conscience clear with you. I don't want to allow things in my life that are going to hinder my relationship with God. And if I see a little something starting to come between me and God, then I want to take care of that. Between God and in our relationships with one another. So the scripture, and we're coming to a conclusion. The scripture in Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with what? With all diligence. Keep thy heart. See, intentionally. Keep your heart carefully. Don't live on the whims and how you're feeling, whether you're good or whether you're, you know, whether you're on a high or whether you're kind of in a low. But keep your heart with all diligence. Saints, let's intentionally keep our hearts with intent. The enemy is trying to pollute. And I would that everyone take this close to you this morning. The enemy is trying to pollute the world's minds with ungodliness and unrighteousness. Guard your heart. Guard your thoughts. Guard your affections. Be careful what you look at. Parents and children, young people, you can get away with things that your parents may not know. Guard what you listen to. Guard what you look at. Be intentional about it. I don't want to feed my heart with something that's going to get me away from having a successful Christian life, because it happens so quickly. So guard your affections. Emotions and desires, they fade so quickly. There is a term called fleeting passions. You know what fleeting passions are? They're transient interests and enthusiasms. I remember when I was in elementary school, I wanted to build a glider. So I would check out books, and I even looked at materials, and I wanted to build a glider. I think I was in about fourth or fifth grade. I never got the glider built because I moved on to another interest. Transient interest. Be careful this morning about transient interest and temptations. They're fleeting. They don't last. Let's be intentional about putting God first. That's in contrast with purpose. Consistent, enduring mission. We've got to learn to say no, folks. We've got to learn to say no. There are too many, and please, I know our terminology. People may not even use this term. There are too many spiritual wimps today. Do you know what I mean by that? There's just people aren't saying no anymore. It's just like, well, the temptation, or, well, I just couldn't help it. My children were kind of upset at me because we wouldn't do it. So we just kind of go along with it. Where are the parents that will stand up in this generation? Where are the parents that will stand up and tell their children, no, no, not happening? And you explain why. Do it in love. But there is a need to put your foot down, parents. Don't let your children rule the roost. God put you as the parents in your home. Step up to the plate. Don't be afraid. And as Christians, we need to do the same thing with the enemy this morning. We need to stand up, and it's time to say no. I've gotten distracted. I'm not putting God first. And I've allowed some things that maybe they're not sinful, but I've got distracted from my mission to work for God and serve God. We need to learn to say no. So in conclusion, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. For you are bought with a price, he said. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How are we going to glorify God in our body and in our spirit? It's only going to come about with intentional Christian living. Making decision, having goals, having a long-term plan, and not living a Christian life by the seat of our pants. May God bless all of you. I want each and every one of you to know this morning that this message is for all of us. It's for me. So if you're squirming in your seat thinking, I'm looking at all of you. Don't go home and say, well, he looked at me when he said that. I could just be looking at myself here this morning. All right? This message is something we all need, because the enemy is fighting here in all of our lives. Lord, help us to have intent and serve God with a purpose, and we'll make it successfully. Amen.